shots in the dark.
Welcome, fair listeners, to Much Ado About Wrestling, the show that dares to compare thee to a summer's slam. I'm one half of your scholarly presenters, Andrew Terrence Caberline, and with me, as always, it's the Virginian Viper, Tyler Ward. Tyler, how are you?
I like the Virginia Viper. Maybe not at this exact moment right now, being what Randy Orton is currently dealing with in his personal life.
Yeah.
I'm doing all right, man. If you can hear it in the voice, I'm a little under the weather. I had a bachelor party that I was at this past weekend, that took a lot of strength out of me. So I am in recovery mode, but doing well, man. Ready to talk some wrestling. We are so close to SummerSlam, the biggest party of the summer. How you feeling?
Yes, I'm feeling great. I didn't realize how many jokes I could have set you up for there with you coming back from a bachelor party and the Randy Orton shout out there. There's a lot that could have, and you being sick and like putting your hand where it's not supposed to be. Not saying you did that. We're not going to get into the Randy Orton thing, but if you are intrigued by our roundabout way of talking about it, just Google it.
We ain't the dirt sheets. We don't do that.
Yeah, we're trying to be a positive family show, or mostly family show. I'm doing good, too. So you just got back from a bachelor party.
I did.
You were at a wedding the week before?
Yes. Is that right? I was at a wedding the week before, bachelor party this past weekend, and then I got three more weddings coming up in the very short amount of time in the next month or so, and then I'm done for 2018. And I've made it a point to tell all my friends that I know, if you're getting married in 2019, I'm not coming. So don't even.
You're out.
I'm out, man.
Love is dead.
2019, no weddings.
I'll keep that in mind. I'm going to a bachelor party in 2 weeks. I'm going to a wedding in 4 weeks, 3 weeks, however long it is until All In. I'm going to a wedding that's taking place at the exact same time as All In.
I think I'm at a wedding the night of All In, actually. Yeah,
that's crazy. I'm also going to a wedding in October, and I got called yesterday to be told that I'm going to be at another wedding next year. So, man, it is the time for weddings.
We are men of a certain age, man, where all of your friends are getting married.
We're a canceled USA TV show. And it made us think about the long lineage that weddings have in professional wrestling. I don't know if you've watched season 2 of GLOW yet.
Sarah and I watched episode 4 or 5 last night, but so far so good, man. God, that's a great show. I'm a big fan of GLOW.
The second season, fantastic.
Yeah.
And not to like spoil anything, but there is a in-ring wrestling segment, or not an in-ring wrestling segment. There's a lot of those. There's an in-ring wrestling wedding segment, which Chelsea was looking at me as it was coming up and was like, oh, is this like a thing? And I was like, yes.
It's like, what the things I can show you
is great. So this isn't what we're going to talk about today, but we're kind of teasing that I think the next episode we'll do post SummerSlam shenanigans is a wedding episode in honor of all of these weddings
season that we're currently in.
Yeah, so we'll go through some of the best and worst wrestling weddings, and some of them are both the best and worst.
Yes.
It's a really hard thing to do well, but they keep trying.
Absolutely.
But that's not for now.
Yeah.
There's been a lot that's happened.
You've been watching any of that G1, my man?
Yes, in that I've been watching on Reddit when people post, like, here are the final 3 minutes of these G1 matches. I've seen the end of every match in G1.
So, what I've been doing is I always hit the YouTube about, like, a few hours after I know it has aired, because a lot of people, they'll post. Sometimes you'll get the full match. Sometimes you'll get just that, 5 minute highlight video set to a Breaking Benjamin song or something.
to which Breaking Benjamin song? Is it the same one each time?
It's always the same one, probably.
Yeah.
But so I've been catching a few of them then. I caught the video of the entire Omega Ibushi match. So I did get to watch that entire match. And
yeah.
Wow, that was incredible.
That one, a lot of people were talking about same with the Okada Tanahashi match. People really, really seem to like.
Yeah.
There's a handful of matches that people were like, well, there it is. There's the best match of the G1. And then,
I still remember when they were talking about Naito and Omega from like night one or something. When that match happened, they were like, oh man, it's the best match. So, like,
I know that a lot of our listeners are WWE focused.
Yes.
And again, we're going to be talking a lot of WWE in this episode. So I think, could you explain really quickly kind of like what the G1 is?
Yes. So for New Japan Pro Wrestling, they have a month-long tournament in the summer, every summer, from the months of like July to August time, called the G1 Climax. And what it is, it's a 20-man round-robin tournament. There's two blocks, A block and B block. Each block has 10 participants in each. And basically, they just go through and they have a match with every single person within their block. If you win the match, you get 2 points. If you, I think it's a draw is
1 point.
Draw is 1 point, and then a loss is 0 points, of course. And then so whoever has the most points at the end of the tournament for A block and B block, respectively, have a final match. The winner of this match gets a guaranteed contract to main event the Tokyo Dome at Wrestle Kingdom in the following year.
Yeah. So it's kind of like the closest thing to a Wrestling World Cup.
Yeah,
it has that kind of feel. It's an attempt by New Japan to do something that is very close to real sport. And that's kind of the way it feels when you watch it. All the matches have a bit heightened stakes because you can see the standings for everyone.
And it's
almost kind of like New Japan's version of the Royal Rumble as well, because it is the beginning of the storyline season for their biggest show of the year.
In a way,
Wrestle Kingdom. Yeah,
it's not the same end goal necessarily, but I've always kind of compared it to WWE's King of the Ring. But if you stretch King of the Ring out like over weeks instead of just one night,
the King of the Ring wasn't sometimes. I mean, sometimes it's like an 8-person single elimination tournament. The King of the Ring sometimes did not feel as weighty as
and especially because the King of the Ring, you weren't always. It wasn't like, you win the King of the Ring, here's your title match, or here's your WrestleMania main event. It was usually you just got a literal crown, and
you got to be carried around on a like Caesar style
bed. Yeah, or if you're Booker T or Wade Barrett, you get a whole new gimmick. So
yeah, you get an accent by winning it. So the G1, check it out if you haven't yet. It made us really excited because we now have tickets to see Ring of Honor versus New Japan G1 Super Climax. That's not what they're calling it.
No.
The G1 Climax Super Show next year, the night before WrestleMania at Madison Square Garden. We talked about it on the show a few episodes ago. Tyler and I will be there.
We will be there live.
Yeah. So if you're hanging out in Section 217, come give us a wave.
Exactly.
Hopefully you'll be in a section a little closer than us.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
But no, man, I'm pumped. I'm excited. We the tickets came down to the wire, and Andrew
sold out in 10 minutes.
He pulled it out. Didn't mean to say that. Whoops.
That's okay.
I'm just excited.
It's
I'm
the
excited.
Randy Orton and you coming out. I worked from home that day so that I would be able to dedicate that 10 minutes to really get in there and hit refresh on Ticketmaster and get my tickets. And somehow I did.
Made
so
it
we
happen.
Will be going to that.
When did they sold out in like, what, 7 minutes or something like that?
I think it was 10. It was 10-10 it started pulling up and saying like, nope, there are no more tickets.
I kind of saw that coming because I remember when the ROH Honor Club pre-sale went on. People were like reporting then. They're like, oh, Honor Club is pre-sales already sold 9,000 tickets. Pre-sales sold 12,000 tickets. And it's like, well, there's only 15,000 seats in the house. So this is going to be very
I went from being very confident that we would get tickets easily to very nervous very quickly. But we did it. We figured it out. I think it's funny that in a lot of our recent episodes too, loyal listeners will know that we've made predictions about certain Bullet Club members maybe come into WWE next year. And I think it's going to be funny now, all of a sudden, we're going to be being like, man, I hope that doesn't happen.
I know,
it's not going to
happen. Yeah. I think I think without giving away any spoilers for anyone who does want to go watch the G1 finals, I think given the result of the finals, I don't think that Omega's leaving anytime soon, but...
I hope not.
That's just
or
me.
I hope that it's... I hope they're all people who debuted the night after WrestleMania, so that they all still get to go do this show.
That would be amazing.
That would be ideal. Knowing
WWE, they are going to sign them just so they can sit them in the crowd at TakeOver while Supercard is going on.
That's what I would do as well. Now that two 10,000 seat plus arena shows have sold out with a lot of these same people, I think I would be trying to get them as well. But that is not what WWE wants us to be talking about right now. They want us to be talking about the biggest party of the summer. How many times can we say that before the end of this
podcast?
We
got two right now. I mean, if we can go 10 for it, I think we can do it. Wait, what SummerSlam is this? Mm-hmm. Like the 18th, 20th, 23rd?
This is the 31st SummerSlam.
All right,
Yeah, or as they call it on Raw, the number of times that Michael Cole would slip it in the first hour. So we got to say it's the biggest party of the summer. I think they've only been using that tagline for 5 or 6 years
now. I think so. Because this is the fourth year in a row it is in New York.
Yep, the fourth year in a row that it's at the Barclays Center. Before that, I want to say it had 6 straight years at the Staples Center in L.A., so it tends to have a long lease. They want to keep it in one spot and make it a kind of traditional thing.
Yeah.
But I think because of the success of NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, I think after that it was like, well, now it's a whole weekend. It's a whole thing. It is the 31st SummerSlam. It's going to be taking place Sunday, August 19th at the Barclays Center in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. Not too far from where I'm at, but I'm not going because the tickets for that did sell out. This is the third of the four big pay-per-views, quote-unquote, in WWE. WrestleMania was the first, we've talked about before. Survivor Series was the second pay-per-view that they added to their schedule. And SummerSlam was made specifically to combat... growing pressure from NWA and the WCW, or like the predecessor WCW. It was made to kind of go into that lead into Starrcade and rival that as well, which was their biggest show. So SummerSlam was the third of the four big pay-per-views that they made. Do you have some favorite moments in SummerSlam history, Tyler?
Oh, man.
What sticks out for you? Because it's got 31 years. That shocked me, too. I didn't realize it had been around for that long.
I mean, it's really hard to remember a lot of, like, older moments, historical ones. Just given that, like, back then, you know, when you're watching wrestling, you're not really paying attention too much to like, oh, this was SummerSlam or this was Survivor Series or this was Invasion or whatever. I mean, most recently, definitely the one that comes to mind is a few years ago when Brock Lesnar cut open Randy Orton the hard way. He started shooting on him with some elbows. I mean,
there's been a lot of Brock Lesnar featured prominently at SummerSlam in recent years. Last year, he was in the Fatal 4-Way. That was a surprisingly good main event to that show. In 2015, there was Undertaker versus Brock, the rematch from WrestleMania 30.
That SummerSlam was the one where Seth Rollins, as the WWE champion, took on John Cena as the United States champion, right? And then and it was Rollins in his like awesome white gear. I remember that because I watched that match. I was like three seats behind a guy on a bus from Richmond to New York at about 11 p.m. watching that match, and he was on his iPad and I was like looking over his shoulder.
Well, that match also had interference by former Daily Show host Jon Stewart, who was trying to prevent Cena from winning, beating Ric Flair's record for title wins, which Jon Stewart was fantastic.
Oh yeah, he was great.
SummerSlam was one of the best parts of it. He is someone who gets wrestling and really likes it. So he got an AA the next night on Raw, came back just to get beat up by John Cena. We'll always go down as the SummerSlam where Jon Stewart went heel. There's some really interesting early moments of SummerSlam when they were still trying to figure out what the show was going to be. We talked about the wrestling weddings, maybe the most famous one of all time. The match made in heaven between Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth, their wedding happened at SummerSlam. We won't get too into that now, though, because we're really going to dedicate the time for it
in a future upcoming episode.
One of your favorite matches of all time happened at this pay-per-view, Tyler. In 1994, The Undertaker was in the main event against The Undertaker.
Yes. Now, that is what we call a wrestling classic. That was...
we've talked about it briefly before. Can you kind of explain what the hell happened there?
Oh, man. The Undertaker versus The Undertaker. That wasn't actually his name. I think that's just a fun way to call it.
Yeah.
I don't entirely remember the storyline. I do remember that it was The Undertaker. He had Paul Bearer in his corner. Undertaker had Ted DiBiase. I don't really remember much of the storyline leading up to it. I know.
Well, that's kind of
it.
It wasn't
a great match. We never saw fake Undertaker again.
At least not as a fake Undertaker.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Brian Lee came back a lot as different gimmicks, but never got close to his success as the Undertaker, which he didn't have great success
No,
as.
He did not.
I think the whole idea, that was kind of in a transitionary period for WWF where Hulk Hogan was gone, and they were having a really hard time making new stars, except for The Undertaker, who was a phenom, and you run out of people to have him face. Well, who are you going to have him face?
Face himself. That is the most like pro wrestling thing you've ever heard.
And it's too bad that was the main event on that pay-per-view, because it immediately followed.
It was
one of my like favorite matches of all time. Legitimately, is Bret Hart versus Owen Hart steel cage match.
Yeah. I rewatched that match a few months ago, and wow, man, that was such a great match.
It's one of the best cage matches
ever. It's so great, I really love the end when they lock themselves in the cage and the rest of the Hart family are trying to, like, get in to, like, save him, and they're, like, climbing up the walls and stuff. Oh, man.
Yeah, I would be willing to say even maybe that's the best SummerSlam match of all time. There's been other good ones recently, too. Like, I was thinking about when we were in our formative years as teenagers, right after the Attitude Era ended, they had a great one in 2002 that had two of the most memorable matches in both Rock vs. Brock.
Oh, yeah.
So Brock Lesnar's coronation as a champion when The Rock still hadn't left full-time for Hollywood yet, passed the torch to him. And then that was also the return of Shawn Michaels in the unsanctioned street fight against Triple H. That's one of the most brutal matches that WWE has ever put on. Certainly had the most blood.
That was his first match back, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah. They both wear jeans because it's an unsanctioned match.
It's a street fight,
So Shawn Michaels in his comeback had a lot of great matches at SummerSlam. He also had a stinker, but also one that I think you should all go back and watch from SummerSlam.
I think it's depending who you are. Are you a fan of that match? I thoroughly enjoyed that match. Not because it was a great match, but because, you know.
We were both talking about Icon versus Legend in 2005 when Shawn Michaels faced Hulk Hogan, who was on the north side of 50 by that point.
And if you watch that, if you study it, you will see Shawn Michaels. He takes some moves. He sells in a way that no one had sold before, you could say.
Yeah, there was a lot of rumors about backstage them having a really hard time deciding who was going to win that match, which I know has been the MO on some of the biggest moments in Shawn Michaels' career, but I think it was more a problem with Hulk Hogan. And I would hate to be Vince in that situation, but it seemed like there's going to be no way around having Hulk Hogan win. So Shawn Michaels mm-hmm. decided upon himself to be like, well, if I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose. Yeah, he makes the whole thing ridiculous in a laughing matter. A current wrestler at that point, so he didn't really get punished for it.
Yeah, yeah. And also, he's Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, that's true. Is that the most recent match that Hulk Hogan has had in WWE? Like, full-on match?
Oh, boy.
It's got to be one of the last ones.
I'd say, yeah. I can't think of another one.
So that's kind of the stuff that's happened at SummerSlam. I think maybe the biggest moment that we haven't talked about in recent memory is that a few years ago in 2013 is when Daniel Bryan beat John Cena for the WWE Championship, the Universal, yeah. Or it was the
WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
Thank you. He won that. That was kind of the end of his long road from WrestleMania that year to like being like, I'm championship worthy. And then he immediately gets cashed in or just like gets another match and loses the title to Randy Orton, and the Authority is born. So a lot of big wrestling storylines, if they're not going to happen at WrestleMania, I think it's fair to say that they happen at SummerSlam.
Or, I mean, they could even be that could how we say that some most wrestling storylines, they kind of kick off around Royal Rumble time. They absolutely, a lot of them can actually start around SummerSlam. If you want a really long, slow build to a good story, kick it off at SummerSlam, and then you can burn it for about 6 months.
Yeah, and even just looking at the card from last year, just running it down, there are a lot of matches that kind of start there that go on through WrestleMania. You have the beginning of the Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon kerfuffle that dominated last year, started there.
God, I didn't even realize that was so long. Yeah, that started at SummerSlam.
Yeah, because Shane McMahon was the guest referee for the AJ versus Kevin match. So some storylines, even though this is going to be one of the longest shows of the year, it's going to be the longest show after WrestleMania. And it's going to feel like the beginning of a lot of stories rather than the end, I think.
Depending what happens with Brock, what his future holds, we'll see.
Yeah. And we're going to get into that in a second as we start our preview of SummerSlam 2018. But I think we should kind of remind the listeners exactly how we do this, because we're not just talking about any show. We're talking about the biggest party of the summer. I think that's three times
that
now
is
we've said it.
Absolutely right.
So once we start talking about the matches here in a second, I'm going to set a clock for 30 minutes, and whatever we get through is what we get through. It's what we deemed as important. I know in the last few times we've done this, we've actually got through all the matches. I promise you that will not happen this time. There will be stuff that we don't talk about. No, there's no way. There's no way. There's no chance in hell, as Vince McMahon's theme music would say. So whatever we get through is what we get through. We're not going to just pick winners like they do on other podcasts. Instead, we're going to try to tell you what we think the story is, what the best way to enjoy certain matches is going to be, or maybe what the best possible outcome could be for this match. So are you ready to get into this, Tyler?
Yeah, man, I'm do it. I'm down.
I'm do it indeed. I'm going to reference your mistakes so we can't cut it out.
That's
okay,
fair.
I'm hitting the 30 minutes right now. And I guess that we should start with the most important match on this year's card.
Finn Balor versus Baron Corbin.
That's a good joke. I was going to say Rusev and Lena versus Cien Almas and Zelina Vega.
But is that even a match?
That is a pre-show match on the card. There are 12 matches on this card. There's also 5 matches on the NXT TakeOver Brooklyn card. I'm going to rule that we can talk about either show in this 30 minutes. So we really got to pick the stuff that we like. Yeah.
So
let's start with the most important match at SummerSlam, and then we'll talk about the most important match at TakeOver.
All right. Well, then, I mean, it's got to be a Universal Championship. Brock Lesnar, the champion. defending against Roman Reigns for the 17th time, I believe.
Yeah, it's at least the third time this calendar year after yes. the WrestleMania main event and then the main event of the Greatest Royal Rumble. Both those times yeah. we thought for sure that Roman was taking the title off of Brock. Both times that is yes. not what happened. So I know we said we're not going to predict winners, but here's the question. Can we trust what do we think is going to happen this time? Fool me twice, shame on me, you know.
I know. I mean, at this point, if anything, what we have learned is to never bet against Brock no matter what. So every time we've come to this match, we're always like, oh, okay, now is the time for Roman to win. Now is the time for Roman to be the guy. Mm-hmm. And they just haven't pulled the trigger on it. And each, I feel like, how it gets you is each time it gets to it, it becomes more and more like, well, how could they not do it now? You know what I mean? We yeah. got to WrestleMania last year, and they were like, all right, well, how could they not do it? They've been building this match for a year, and they didn't
also
do it.
Also, because we thought that Brock was leaving, which now is muddier than
yeah, exactly.
it was then.
Well, now we know he's leaving, but supposedly he might be able to do both or something. So
yeah, there's also... I am very happy with the build of this story for this particular iteration of it, honestly. 2 weeks ago, you had a really bizarro kind of Raw where Brock Lesnar turned on Paul Heyman, which I don't think mm-hmm. people saw coming.
No.
Turned on Paul Heyman, and the show ended, depending on who you ask or how you interpret the audio, it's the Yanni versus... whatever the other word was on that stupid viral thing that happened. Do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Or I sound like I'm having a
was
stroke.
Was it like Yanni or Laurel?
Lonnie or Ural. It's the Lonnie or Laurel or of this year in yeah. wrestling, where Raw 2 weeks ago either ended with everyone chanting organically, we want Roman or we want uh-huh. Strowman, depending on who you ask.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought they were saying we want Roman. I thought it was the most over he had been. So they got a strike while the iron is yeah. hot, in theory, and finally get this title off of Brock.
It's an awkward thing because for the longest time, for years now, people have been fighting against Roman. We've been trying to backlash as much as we can. And it like you gotta give it to WWE, like give it to Vince McMahon, like He's succeeding in that he just wore you down. Like it got he did it out of pure just stubbornness and just wearing the audience down to like Roman is going to be over in this match now just because we just want it to happen. Like we yeah. just want to be done with it.
If Roman wins the title off of Brock, are you happy?
I am. I legit am. I'm sick of Brock. I want Brock to be gone. And if the way to do that is Roman being champion for however long he's going to be champion, I'm down. Let's do yeah, it.
I'm down with it too. But there are other ways that this match could end. Something I'm really happy about with this pay-per-view is that there are a few matches that are separate matches that all have implications together. So another match in the card is a singles match for the Money in the Bank contract between the holder, the monster in the bank. I hate that nickname. Braun Strowman against Kevin Owens. Here's the first question. When does this match happen on the card?
Oh, this match happens real early.
Okay. I was going to say it's either the first match or it happens right before Brock versus Roman.
Because really? I think it would be that late?
I think that that would be a really bold move, and I think that they're tied into the same story, so I'd be okay with it as to be like, yeah. here's one big segment that is going to be these two matches. I think people would be hot for that.
It depends. See, it depends on how they want to do it, because like the typical thing is have on cards like this, where you have a Money in the Bank match on the same card as title fights, mm-hmm. is you want to have the Money in the Bank match earlier in the evening, early enough that so people, it's by the time the title match comes by, it's kind of out of sight, out of mind. They're not thinking about
people it. Forgot
so
about
when
it,
you
yeah.
do, exactly, you can have the person cash in, it's a surprise, it automatically gets that pop. Now, they could do that for, like, say, Strowman or Owens, whoever wins that match for the title fight with Lesnar and Reigns. But I think they're more inclined to do that than to have, say, Strowman and Owens go on immediately before the Universal Championship, because if that does, it's kind of giving the audience an out to not cheer for Roman. Because yeah. if you have that match immediately preceding it, then the second that match starts, they can just start their Strowman chants, start their mm-hmm. Owen chances, or like whatever. But well, I think if you start mm-hmm. early enough in the night, you might, by the time the Universal Championship match comes around, it might, out of sight, out of mind, they can start cheering for Roman. They might actually mm-hmm. get into the match.
Or they can decide not to use the briefcase.
Or that, yeah.
I think that's a riskier decision for them. Because I think people, the other outcome in this match is that Braun Strowman or Kevin Owens could enter it. And they teased it only further when Raw ended last week with the sit-down interview of Paul Heyman with Renee mm-hmm. Young. And Paul is like saying, like, there's no way that Brock Lesnar isn't going to leave as champion. Raw went off the air. If you watch the WWE.com exclusive video, Paul Heyman comes back and goes, unless, and then walks away.
And looks off into the distance.
Yeah. So they're teasing for the most Hawkeye-eyed fans, for all you Jeremy Renners out there, they're teasing that there is going to be some shenanigans in that main event. It's not just going to be Roman versus Brock.
Yeah.
And I'm happy because there's so many people who can interfere. Yeah.
Quick side note, though, that this is much ado about wrestling, and we do have to talk about, you know, the acting side of the business and stuff. That promo from Heyman, wow, man.
Oh, yeah.
That was just an incredible performance. I mean, not even like professional wrestling acting. Like, that was good acting.
Yeah. I mean, great makeup or else method acting, because Paul Heyman's eyes looked like he hadn't slept in forever.
He had like the bloodshot eyes. Yeah. He had like the 5 o'clock shadow. Like, man.
Yeah. He's had a lot of those great. He really excels in the sit down interview, which a lot of people have problems with or have trouble with. But like, Paul Heyman, Mick Foley, and Samoa Joe are masters of the sit-down pre-tape interview.
Yes.
If you get them, you know it's going to be great. But I think those two matches we've talked about are kind of tied together by Paul Heyman and by that interview. What they do with the briefcase is going to be interesting. I think if they do what I suggested and have the two matches next to each other, then the briefcase is Chekhov's briefcase. To be super theatery, like, then it has to be used. So those are the two matches I'm actually most excited for, too, honestly. Okay. I think that's the most exciting storyline in WWE. But NXT is not technically WWE.
Technically.
And there's a storyline that I think is much more exciting there going on in their main event. And that is for the NXT title being defended by the champion Tommaso Ciampa against Johnny Gargano. And I think it's in a last man standing match now. Yeah. Because Aleister Black was supposed to be in this match, had a legitimate injury, had to be taken out. So now we're getting, for the third time this year, on the night before a Brock and Roman again, we're getting Gargano and Ciampa. Why has this storyline made people excited for more and more matches while people are not excited for more Lesnar and Roman matches?
Just because it's the story is told well.
Yeah.
I mean, in the simplest terms, Brock and Roman, it's a story that they've been telling for years now, a very long time. The problem is it has had such start and stops and like flubs in the middle and like just bad booking in general. It's not a cohesive story. But with NXT, the Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano storyline, it has been told over arguably the same amount of time, going on 3 years now.
Yeah.
If you track it all the way back to them becoming a tag team, having
their Cruiserweight Classic.
Cruiserweight Classic match, exactly. So the difference is that you can track the story of the Ciampa Gargano storyline. Like, you can see how it follows like an actual storyline. There's like arcs and climaxes and dips, and it's just it's one of those things that's hard to explain, like, without witnessing it yourself. I would compare it to the Gargano and Ciampa storyline is like watching a trilogy of movies, where it's more of a cohesive story that's told over a long amount of time, but they have an idea of like all the steps in between. Where the Lesnar Reigns storyline, it's more of like something you would see on like a television show that has episodes that don't really follow each other. You know what I mean?
It's closer to like a network TV show that has to do 22 episodes.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
It's like, so the will they won't
filler
they
episodes. Yeah. You're going to have those filler episodes that has a completely new random storyline that has nothing to do with the overarching story. And maybe at the very end, you're going to get a 2 minute like snippet that has something to do with it.
Yeah.
And just that's fine. But like within professional wrestling, that's not a great medium to tell stories. I don't think.
And Gargano Ciampa is like the limited series, like True Detective styled, like limited event. Everything is so intentional. I think that's really the difference, is down to the production value, in the way that their matches have been directed, quite literally, from like a filming standpoint, that they reference other stills and shots from earlier matches. So there is a visual language that if you watch them back to back makes cohesive sense, whereas the two previous Brock Lesnar Roman matches have been kind of different in the story that they've told. The first one was like Roman being like, I'm ready now. The second one was Roman being like, I got screwed. And the I got screwed part of the story has kind of gone to the wayside just to be like, I'm here and he's not. So the story has been really different each time, and they kind of forget where they came from before. We've used a third of our time now to talk about three matches.
Oh boy.
So
better turn that speed up, so rapid fire. Here we
looking
go.
Looking at the rest of the card, what match are you most excited for left on the card?
Hands down, I'm most excited for arguably more than the Universal Championship. I'm more excited for the WWE Championship match.
Yes.
It's going to be AJ Styles defending against Samoa Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Quite frankly, Samoa Joe might be my favorite wrestler right now, man. He is just so good at everything he does. I am super excited to see this match. Granted, you know, I don't think we're going to see like a five-star wrestling classic, but I think it's going to be an amazing match. I think this is going to set up a really great feud that they could take to WrestleMania if they want.
Yeah.
Knowing like some of the backstage things going on right now, I don't think Samoa Joe is going to win.
No.
But I do think this is a great starting point for a very long, very interesting feud that could happen.
I would love to have a long feud here. I don't want it to just be forgotten next month, the way that Rusev is now in the pre-show. I mean, Samoa Joe and AJ Styles were in the best match in the history of TNA before it changed hands and became just Impact full-time. Their triple threat match against Christopher Daniels is the best match that promotion ever had.
Yep.
And these two guys have not got a chance to really wrestle together in WWE yet. They certainly still both have it, and they have amazing chemistry together. The problem is, again, there are 12 matches on this card. As of right now, only one match is on the pre-show. I'm sure that there will be a second one.
Probably three. So the pre-show is going to be 2 hours.
Oh, that's right, because this is even though it's an extended show, what do you think is the longest amount of time that this match can realistically get?
Probably like 20 minutes tops.
20 would be great, yeah.
Maybe 21 or 22. I don't see it going any longer.
No, there's going to be a lot of gaga, a lot of video packages and stuff on this show, just the way that WrestleMania has extra superfluous stuff. So I don't see it getting the time it really needs. I'm hoping it breaks 20, because that at least would allow them to do something. I think this is going to be the workhorse match of the night.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Looking at the card, there's not a lot of the matches are really story driven on this particular pay-per-view. And this is one of the few that kind of just stands as itself. This is almost like the spot that Bret Hart had in the history of all of his SummerSlam matches, where there'd be some ridiculous storyline main eventing, and then Bret Hart would be right below doing an actual great wrestling match.
An actual Matt Classic.
Yeah. Speaking of Matt Classic, Colt Cabana is not on this show. That was a really deep cut that most of our listeners will not understand unless they were watching the MTV wrestling show Wrestling Society X. The next biggest match on this card, and the fact that it's the fourth match we're talking about, is a little silly to me, because this is the most anticipated wrestling match of the last few years, and this is a regular old singles match between Daniel Bryan and The Miz. Are you shocked that this match is already happening this quickly?
Knowing how backstage and contracts work, no.
I think you should explain that a little bit. Bring us up to speed on that.
Yeah. So, Daniel Bryan, his contract is going to be up in early September. Pretty sure the day of All In, actually, September 1st. And he has not re-signed yet. And so, I think that WWE's idea was, if were he to basically, you can kind of predict the winner of this match based on whether or not Daniel Bryan re-signs before SummerSlam. If he re-signs, he's probably going to win. If he does not re-sign, The Miz is probably going to win. The unfortunate part here is that this is one of those times where, in WWE, really, they don't get these all the time. They have an amazing storyline that I think, without their intention, has organically built itself over the years.
Yeah.
I doubt when Daniel Bryan was in NXT and they were like, hey, we're going to make The Miz your pro who's going to teach you, that they were like, okay, 7 years from now, when they're both established champions, so they're going to have an amazing blow-off match. Like, no, this is one of those rare times where they have a storyline that has organically built itself over the years that can culminate in something like this.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited for it. The only thing I just wish, you don't need more stakes to it, but I just wish it was for a title. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I feel like that would give it a little more oomph that it needs.
And it's too bad too, because some of their history has happened at SummerSlam. In the early 2000s, Daniel Bryan got legit fired for going too far in a segment with the Nexus faction. And the Nexus were the hottest thing that summer. They were the party of the summer. And they were headlining in a 7-person versus 7-person match. And Miz got kicked off the good guy team in favor of a returning Daniel Bryan. And that was so great. And they had one pay-per-view match after that for the U.S. title, but neither of them were as hot as they are right now. So we have seen this match, but not in the way that it really should be told. And this is one that, again, if he signs, I feel like this is the beginning of a storyline that goes to WrestleMania.
Absolutely. It almost has to. I mean,
yeah. And I hope that it does. I think he will resign.
I think he will.
Yeah. I think that there's value in him having a smaller work load and like a pick your own schedule.
That's ultimately come down to that he's a new father. He has a baby at home. Mm-hmm. And I think,
who are you talking about? Hey, they both got babies. Yeah,
that's true. I think prior to having a child, Daniel Bryan, if you asked him if he was going to resign, I think he would say no. I think he would be more inclined to, you know, go back to Ring of Honor, or maybe try like New Japan, or, you know, more of like the traveling indie schedule. But now that, you know, he has a child at home, he's starting a family, I don't see him wanting to, you know, travel to Japan for a month at a time. Like,
I see that being less likely now. Think WWE has showed good faith in the stuff they want to do with him. And I think it's easier to stay than to go uproot your life.
Yeah.
But who knows? I mean, SummerSlam is where the Ultimate Warrior held up Vince McMahon and had his final match in WWF. there as well.
That's true.
So Vincent gets held up a lot. So the word to the wise for all you out there, if you want to be a wrestler, have a handshake agreement with Vince so that you can go into a pay-per-view where you're already announced as part of the main event, and then you can be like, nope, give me $250,000 right now or else I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Make sure, you know, if your contract's expiring, make sure that you're the champion when it does. I mean,
yeah. Speaking of, also on this pay-per-view is Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jeff Hardy for the WWE United States title. This is weird. Because Jeff Hardy looked like he was being ridden off of TV because he looked very hurt. Shinsuke Nakamura also has been part of rumors recently that maybe he doesn't like how he's been used as of late in WWE and would go back to New Japan. New Japan certainly has stoked those fires by releasing stuff from their president saying like, hey, we'd absolutely take him back. Plus, you got Randy Orton, who's inserted himself into the storyline. But as we mentioned at the top of the show, he this week has come under fire for some very inappropriate conduct that he did, yes, a long time ago, but it seems like he did it over and over and over again with a lot of people. So the question I have for you, Tyler, is what the hell is going to happen in this match?
Oh, boy. I think this is the match I'm most confident about who's going to win.
Okay.
I'm fairly confident that Nakamura will retain. I think it makes the most sense for the story in that they've spent the last, you know, 3-4 weeks or whatever building this Jeff Hardy versus Orton storyline. And Nakamura has barely been on TV in the last couple of weeks. It wouldn't really make sense for... Well, I mean, I guess if they were trying to just remove Nakamura entirely so you could have Hardy and Orton face over a title. But it just doesn't make sense because they just gave Nakamura the championship. So it just...
Yeah.
It doesn't line up to me. Granted, you know, we still do have a SmackDown between now and SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So the rumor I've heard tale is that Orton may be added to this match to make it a triple threat. However, again, with the most recent things that he happens to be dealing with, that seems less and less likely. So
I think this might be one where whatever the initial plan was has been rewritten many times in the past few weeks and days and hours even. We've got just under 6 minutes left.
Just under six.
We haven't even mentioned Ronda Rousey.
Well, let's talk about that one because I think this is arguably one of the biggest profile matches they have on the card.
Mm-hmm.
Ronda Rousey, I still believe, is the biggest draw that they have. Mm-hmm. Regardless what Vince thinks of Brock, I think Ronda Rousey is still the biggest draw.
Yeah,
This is going to be her first title match.
Mm-hmm.
Did she have a title match with?
Against
Nia Jax. Right? Was that a title match?
Yes, it was. Because it was. Alexa Bliss, Money in the Bank to win.
Right.
Yeah.
So it won't be her first title match, but this is going to be the first time where there's not expected to be any tomfoolery.
Mm-hmm.
We could very well be seeing Ronda Rousey's coronation as the new Raw Women's Champion, which would, at this point, I'm not sure if I'm entirely for it. Like, back when she had her match with Nia Jax, I was kind of like, nah, it's way too soon. She's not ready yet. But, and it hasn't been that long since that match, but I kind of feel like she's ready. I think it would be a good thing.
I think she's ready too. I think you have her win it and lose it in a ridiculous way pretty quickly so that she can still be winning it at WrestleMania and you can finish your two biggest shows of the year with Ronda Rousey winning. Yeah. I think the slight hesitation I had with her not winning this match was if there's some payoff to what they've been doing with Natalya for the last few months is much her friend that there's no way that she won't turn. Mm-hmm. But again, with late breaking news, it's been a weird month in wrestling. Natalya's real life father died today on the day of recording this.
The Anvil
Jim Neidhart. So that might also change because you don't want to take in the person who just lost her father and turn her heel against the biggest member of your company.
Yeah,
that's a bad look. Unless she's like, "Hey, let me do that." So the chances, I think, of her interfering have gone down. I think that this match will probably be a squash. Have Ronda go out there and look good, and people will be happy about that. We got 3.5 minutes left now.
Oh boy.
The next most important match, I think the only like real important match left on this card, looking at it, I think is Dolph Ziggler versus Seth Rollins for the Intercontinental title. We just got this last month in a match that did not turn out very good. Mostly because of the audience, honestly.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not too excited for this match, unfortunately. Seth Rollins is great, but I don't know. I'm just not that excited for it. Yeah. I think it's more just because Dolph Ziggler is like perpetually just he's kind of a dud for me right now. Not to saying he's bad. He's just he hasn't done anything interesting in a very long time.
And he's surrounded by people who are very interesting.
Exactly. Yes, he's surrounded by people who are very interesting. He's in feuds with everyone who's very interesting. I would love to see something going down where it's, you know, Seth and Drew maybe in the mix. I want Finn to be back in that Intercontinental title picture. Like, I'm not too excited for it. I think it's going to be a good match because, I mean, Ziggler and Rollins are both great workers, so it's going to be a good match, but me.
I mean, we are recording this on a Monday night for full transparency, and I have had Raw on in the background, and I've not seen Dean Ambrose yet. So you may have more knowledge, listener, than we do at this moment, but we've heard Dean Ambrose is going to come back. Do you think he's involved in this match at SummerSlam?
No.
Even like no, as I like think, in a periphery like way?
No, I think Dean's been gone long enough, and he's a high enough profile name that if he makes like a surprise return, it's going to have to do with the Universal title.
Yeah.
It's going to be with Roman and not Seth.
Not with Seth. There is 1:30 left, so I'm going to roll through the rest of the matches we have not talked about. I want you to say in a sentence
what's happening.
Or not what's happening, but like what the best way to enjoy the match is.
Okay.
So the Bludgeon Brothers versus the New Day.
With a stack of pancakes.
Yes, I like it. The triple threat match for the WWE SmackDown Women's title between Carmella, Becky, and Charlotte Flair.
With some Irish folk music playing, because Becky's the best.
Yes. Here's the question for this next match, for these next two matches, because we've got two left. Which of these two is going to be on the pre-show, if not both of them? Cedric Alexander defending the Cruiserweight title against the master of the PowerPoint, Drew Gulak, and the singles match between Finn Balor and Constable Corbin.
So these are definitely both guaranteed to be on the pre-show. Mm-hmm. I will put money on that.
No, I was gonna say there's 26 seconds left, so let's look a little bit at NXT TakeOver. Other than the main event, what is the other match from there that you're most excited for?
Oh, no, it's gotta be my boy Adam Cole, baby, defending the North American championship, the most beautiful title in wrestling today, against the one and only Ricochet.
Yeah, we didn't mention it until now, but this has the potential to be the best match. Oh, can you hear that?
Oh, yeah.
There is the alarm. It went off, so I guess we have to stop. But I'll finish saying that I think that this match does have the potential to be the best match of the entire weekend.
Oh, I guarantee it.
And
I think the only other thing is Ciampa and Gargano may be like right there, but I think this match could easily steal the weekend.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how weird Velveteen Dream versus EC3 is going to be. I really like them together, and I like their ridiculous pool segment that they did.
Oh, man, the best segment of NXT history, man. How good was that?
It was stupid, but in the best way possible.
But yeah, all right, yeah. So that's all we got.
Most everything, if abbreviated. I think we focused on the matches that are going to be the most important. So that's all we got for right now. We'll be back soon with our wedding episode. Until then, do you have anything to plug, Tyler?
Excusez-moi.
Yeah, you're excused.
just your standard plugs. You can find all of your Turbo Mansion needs at... bandcamp.turbomansion.com. You can find us on Spotify. We got the whole thing on YouTube now. You can go to Design by Humans to search our merch for cool t-shirts and all that good stuff. Maybe we'll get some Much Ado merch one of these days.
Yeah, we got some ideas for it.
We got some ideas in the pipeline. That's about it. What you got for them?
Yeah, for the Much Ado About Wrestling stuff, if you want us to answer your questions in the Kayfabe 5000, maybe some wedding-related questions with what our next episode is going to be about, and then please submit them to us on our website, muchadoaboutwrestling.com, in the contact section, or you can ask it to us on Twitter. We're at Ado Wrestling, or you can just email them to us the old-fashioned way, muchadowrestling@gmail.com. So as always, we're going to leave you in the words of the immortal William Shakespeare. If wrestling be the food of love, fight on.
At the biggest party of the summer, we got four.
Yeah, we got four or five. We did okay. Could have done better.